Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 gets you through with your phone calls, questions related to health and nutrition. We got lots to talk about on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. A little later in the program, we're going to take a look at the relationship between finger length and a man's personality, and whether he might be more likely to be a dad or a cad. Yeah, it's all in the finger length. Ladies, grab your husband's hands and check out their finger length. We'll explain to you what it all means in just a few moments. 888-302-3684. We'll start the program with this story that has made the pages of Science Daily. It's a very, very cogent critique of our overdependence on statin drugs to improve cholesterol. And the headline of the story, safety, life-saving efficacy of statins has been exaggerated. This according to a pair of scientists who have published an article in the Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology. That's a mainstream medical journal. Here's what they have to say. Hailed as miracle drugs when they hit the market two decades ago, statins, the cholesterol-lowering drugs prescribed to prevent heart attacks, are not as effective nor as safe as we have been led to believe. This according to Dr. David Diamond. He's a professor of molecular pharmacology and physiology at the University of South Florida. He is paired with longtime statin doubter, Dr. Uffe Ravenskopf. He's an expert in cholesterol and cardiovascular disease. He's long challenged the widespread use of statins to bring cholesterol down because, while some studies suggest that if you've had a heart attack or perhaps even a stroke, that the use of statins might somewhat reduce your risk of a subsequent event, for the vast majority of people with simply high cholesterol, doesn't make a difference. I actually had two instances this week. Patients came to see me with a question, should they be on a statin? They had been urged by their primary care doctors because of high cholesterol and certain other risk factors to go on a statin drug. In one case, it was a guy. He was in his 50s. He had a cholesterol around 260. He had an HDL. It was around, it was in the 50s. And he was pretty good shape, but maybe could have lost a few pounds. We're working on that. Fairly athletic, but very strong family history of cardiovascular disease. And so clearly a question in his mind was, should I be on a statin drug like, virtually everybody else? You go to a dinner party and conversation starts going around the table and people tell you, doctor put me on a statin, it's kind of concerned about my cardiovascular risk. And start thinking, maybe I too should be on a statin. So he came to see me. We did an EBT heart scan, which he said that his doctor had refused to send him for. And the EBT heart scan, to our delight, revealed that he had zero plaque in his coronary arteries. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense to take a statin drug if you have zero plaque. So instead we'll work on diet, lifestyle, cardiovascular prevention. This is actually the second or third time that I've seen him. He's already feeling a lot better with the program that we've offered him. Then a lady came to see me, and she is indeed carrying a few extra pounds. She is in her 60s, mid-60s, and has high blood pressure. And clearly, based on her numbers, based on her risk factors, would be a great candidate for going on a statin drug. Doctors have been pestering her to go on statin drugs, and she's been resolute about refusing, concerned about potential side effects. And, we did the same analysis. We did an EBT heart scan. By the way, the test is very, very inexpensive. The guy told me that he found a special at a local hospital where they ran the test for about $100. Other places may charge $200-$300, but it's not an expensive test. Sometimes covered partially by insurance. but nonetheless, a very valuable test. And, you know, we were 2 for 2 that week. She also had zero plaque. So clearly, yeah, they both, I mean, I told her, look, let's not use this test as a way to say, put on the feed bag. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to lose weight. I don't need to take supplements. But clearly, let's not undertake the risks of going on a statin drug. In this paper, Drs. Diamond and Ravenscoff say that statins produce a dramatic reduction in cholesterol levels, but they have, quote, failed to substantially improve cardiovascular outcomes. They're concerned that the beneficial effects of statin treatment have been exaggerated in many studies. These are often industry-sponsored studies where they got some skin in the game to demonstrate that statins are the bomb for reducing cardiovascular risk. They cite one study, the notorious Jupiter study, where they claim that it was a slam dunk, that there was a 54% reduction in heart attacks. That sounds pretty good. I'm going to grab that drug, right? Well, actually, heart attacks and deaths were 3% in the placebo group compared to 1.9% in the Lipitor group. So I guess that may translate to a 54% reduction. But when you look at absolute numbers, it's not that much. It's just a 1.1% reduction, not a 54% reduction. You can manipulate statistics to prove your point whenever you like. The authors emphasize that low cholesterol levels related to statin use have frequently been associated with an increased risk of cancer and other diseases. And, they're concerned that ultimately we're engaged in a long-term experiment, putting tens of millions of Americans unnecessarily on statin drugs. And I'll tell you my own personal perspective on this. I am not inalterably opposed to the use of statins. I think people who've had a heart attack, people who've had stents and bypass surgery, they may need statins to protect their newly acquired arteries, or stents are notorious for closing after the arterial wall has been injured by the placement of a stent. So, yeah, maybe there's some benefit. More studies need to be done. But too often I see side effects, sometimes obvious and devastating, severe debilitating muscle pain, sometimes subtle, like mild mood problems, mild fatigue, sleep problems, lower sex drive. These are very, very common, often underestimated when side effects are enumerated for these drugs. Diamond and Ravenscoff concluded their paper with a sobering statement that, quote, there is a great appeal to the public to take a pill that offers the promise of a longer life and to live heart attack free. The reality, however, is that statins actually produce only a small beneficial effect on cardiovascular outcomes, and their adverse effects are far more substantial than is generally known. And they point out in the study something very interesting, is that we have, indeed, in this country, reduced the incidence of heart attacks. There actually has been a reduction. But in turn, what we're seeing is an unexplained increase in congestive heart failure. And congestive heart failure may occur when the heart muscle gets weak. And that's precisely what statin drugs can do. They can reduce production of coenzyme Q10 and ultimately weaken the heart, causing fluid to accumulate in the ankles and the lungs, causing breathlessness and fatigue. And ultimately, congestive heart failure is now superseding heart attacks as the main heart problem that we're encountering in this country. And statins do absolutely nothing to alleviate that and may actually be part of the problem. So very concise and pointed critique entitled How Statistical Deception Created the Appearance That Statins Are Safe and Effective in Primary and Secondary Prevention of Cardiovascular Disease. We'll put a link to that study up on our website at drhoffman.com. And you'll find it, just wait a couple of days. We'll put it up Monday morning along with the podcast of this broadcast. 888-302-3684, that's our number, and we invite your phone calls. We're here for you this weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at Clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. We invite your phone calls. We know we get more phone calls in our second hour when we bring our affiliate in New York on stream. But you can call us. We know that many of you are out there in other parts of the country listening live to the program, or perhaps you're listening to our live stream. You can get it via drhoffman.com each week and listen to the program in its entirety, the full 2 hours from noon to 2 Eastern time. 888-302-3684. Can you judge a man by his fingers? You know, Beyonce sang a song, Put a Ring on It, and it's the guy putting a ring on the gal. But ladies, maybe you should take a good look at your partner's fingers before putting a ring on the ring finger. Because it turns out that the relationship between the length of a man's ring finger to his forefinger may be predictive of his behavior. You know, they used to, you know, examine the teeth of horses, you know, before you buy the horse. And maybe you should examine your prospective partner's hands. Because according to, it's actually a couple of studies, there's actually a long tradition of looking at this ratio, the so-called ring finger to forefinger ratio. And it's been actually the subject of study for almost 20 years. Professor John Manning, who is over there at Northumbria University in England, in the northern part of England, he's been analyzing finger length ratios for almost 20 years. And it is predictive of some interesting things: fertility, lung and heart functioning, and athletic performance in sports such as football and running. So how could that possibly be? Well, it turns out that the ratio of the ring finger to the forefinger is predictive of exposure to prenatal testosterone. And the more testosterone you're exposed to in utero with your mom, if you're a guy, apparently the longer your ring finger will be in relationship to your forefinger. All right? You got that? So check this out. And by now, some of you guys are looking at your hands, or maybe you're with your lady, and your lady has grabbed your hands and is examining them, waiting for me to explain this. And I'm looking at my hand as we speak. Men with short index fingers and long ring fingers are on average nicer towards women. I'll say that again. Men with short index fingers and long ring fingers are on average nicer towards women. They sometimes refer to this as the cads versus dads phenomenon. The cads being, shall we say, less reliable as partners, and dads who have a greater chance of having more children. It turns out that men with smaller digit ratios have more children. In other words, the longer the ring finger, the more likely they are to have more children. Our research suggests that they have more harmonious relationships with women. These behaviors support the formation and maintenance of permanent relationships with women. And that might also explain why they have more children on average. Men's index fingers are generally shorter than their ring fingers. I'm looking at my hand, and I think I'm sort of intermediate. I am sort of halfway between a cad and a dad. My ring finger is slightly longer than my forefinger, but it's only by about maybe a quarter an inch. And the study shows that there is a biological link in fetal life. A greater exposure to testosterone may modify the ratio of digits. The digit ratio, the second digit length divided by the fourth digit length, is an indication of the amount of male hormones, chiefly testosterone, someone has been exposed to as a fetus. The smaller the ratio, the more male hormones. Okay. And this suggests that this has an impact on how adult men behave, especially with women. So, all right, there you have it. The finger ratio can predict your relationship success. 888-302-3684. We got something coming up that I think you'll find interesting. The controversy over vaginal steaming. Yes, vaginal steaming. Gwyneth Paltrow touts it as, quote, an energetic release. We'll examine the heated controversy over a new age practice that is gaining steam. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can't avoid punning when you talk about this. 888-302-3684. We invite your phone calls. This is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku Lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a great article this week at drhoffman.com. I analyzed the new GMO apple, and I slice it and dice it and basically throw it in a rubbish heap. So you can check it out at drhoffman.com. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, you would have gotten it in your inbox this week. Check it out. All right, just a moment. We're going to talk about a new fad, which is vaginal steaming, highly touted by celebrity Gwyneth Paltrow. Is it good or is it hazardous to your health? But first, let's talk to Wayne in Windsor, Connecticut. How you doing, Wayne?
Pretty good, doctor. How are you?
Good. By the way, you're listening to us via WDRC out of Connecticut?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great station. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A question for you. I've been on statins for a while. I had a stent put in about 5-6 years ago. I just went through a stress test and tapped it with flying colors.
Good.
They're removing me off of Paxil. But I'm still
good.
On.
Good. They're removing you off of Plavix, not Paxil.
Plavix.
Right. It's funny because it's actually pretty close. If you mix up a few letters, you could actually get mixed up from. You could actually get an antidepressant instead of a blood thinner by mistake. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm on niacin, phenofibrate.
Right. Yeah. By the way, neither of them I think are particularly good for cardiovascular prevention. And niaspan is niacin. And we used to think that niacin was the bomb for lowering cholesterol. It does lower cholesterol, but according to recent studies, it doesn't do much to reduce cardiovascular risk. You can lower cholesterol, but not reduce your risk. It's not just about cholesterol. It's about, other things that conspire to give you heart disease. But anyway.
Yeah, and I'm on, forgive me, they're hard to pronounce for me, chalidocerol or...
Oh, you got me on that one.
What's your question? My question is, I've been drinking a lot of beet juice and ginger. Does that help detoxify blood and improve good cholesterol within your system?
Yeah, well, here's the problem. Beet juice is great. It provides you with nitric oxide, which helps to dilate your blood vessels, improve your circulation. It's the same as the Viagra principle, nitric oxide. And we talked recently about a product called Super Beets on this program, which is a concentrate of beet, which is helpful for circulation. It can actually help to lower blood pressure, too. But beets are a source of a lot of sugar and a carbohydrate load. And given the medications you're taking niacin, that's often used for high triglycerides in a low HDL situation, you might be creating a problem with the large amount of carbohydrates you're taking. After all, sugar used to be imported from Cuba. We would get cane sugar, and then we would make sugar out of that. Well, no longer. There's been an embargo against Cuban sugar for decades. And most of the sugar that we get is made from beets. You can actually make sugar out of beets, and your body transforms beets into pure glucose. And that glucose gets transformed into triglycerides, which increase your cholesterol, the bad kind, and are associated with low HDL, higher risk for weight gain, insulin resistance, obesity. What's your height and weight?
I'm 5'8", and I'm 185 pounds.
Okay, so you're probably carrying a little extra weight. I mean, it depends on the condition you're in. I mean, if you're like a high school running back, that might be perfect. A lot of muscle. And, built low to the ground. But if you're older and you're carrying that weight, some of it might be accumulating around your midsection, and it might be metabolically active fat that increases your risk for cardiovascular disease. You've already got a stent, so it suggests you're prone to the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So you know, I just don't know what whether makes, you know, whether that's going to be good for you. The other thing about beets contain betaine. Betaine is good for helping you lower homocysteine, which is a cardiovascular risk factor. So I would say, you know, beets would be okay for you if you were active and metabolically normal. But if you have a tendency towards insulin resistance, I'd have to look at the whole picture, look at your hemoglobin A1C, look at, you know, examine you, see if you have a lot of belly fat, look at your lipid profile. I might suggest that you stay away from beet juice, because beet juice, just an extra source of carbohydrate calories that your body doesn't burn efficiently and could contribute to your high cholesterol problem, which you're attacking like three ways, not just one way. You're using fenofibrate, you're using niacin, and you're using a statin. You must have wicked high cholesterol.
My blood exam is as good as my doctor's.
What? Yeah, but you're on three drugs.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's artificially brought down. I mean, yeah, by now your cholesterol is probably good. And by the way, I'm not even sure if your doctor is a shining example of optimal cholesterol, the way doctors look sometimes these days. You know, it's not exactly, they're not exactly role models. But anyway, so look, I'm just saying it's conceivable that the carbohydrate loads you're getting from the beets might be not great for you, notwithstanding the health benefits of beets. You know, so you have to consider both factors. All right. 888-302-3684. That's our number. We invite more phone calls. That was an interesting question. Gwyneth Paltrow. She, in some circles, becomes sort of a figure of fun because she is an example of the Hollywood celebrity who is ultra effete and sort of Marie Antoinette-esque. She's saying, they can eat tofu. She wrote a book called It's All Good, which I made a little fun about a couple of years ago when it came out. It's virtually food phobic. It tells you to eat basically a very, very narrow plant-based diet. And she's all about food allergy and gluten sensitivity and avoiding fat and meat and, you know, pretty skimpy diet. And to look at her, she's a wraith. She's very insubstantial. So she's following that regimen. It looks like it. Continuing on her inner journey, she has just written a blog about the latest vogue thing to do if you're hanging around in Santa Monica, California, which is near and dear to my heart because that's where I grew up. Now, you got to go back about 50-some years, 60 years or so, to Santa Monica, California, a very, very conservative community. Church-going folks, very WASPy, you know, always voted Republican. Now it's become a mecca for everything that's trendy and new and edgy. And it's sometimes been referred to as the Soviet Republic of Santa Monica. Politically, it's very liberal. And there's a spa in California that offers something called the Mugwort V-Steam. And Gwyneth Paltrow wrote breathlessly on her Goop website. I don't even know what Goop is, but it's like one of those trendy sites. Talking up a holistic spa in Santa Monica, which offers a V-Steam, which is vaginal steaming. She says, quote, you sit on what is essentially a mini throne, a combination of infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your uterus. It's an energy release, not just a steam douche that balances female hormone levels. And soon after that, it was followed by an article in Mind Body Green, a publication that I sometimes write for, that talks about all the supposed health benefits of the V steam. All right. This article quotes Dr. Rosita Arvigo, who's a naturopathic physician. She's not a naturopathic physician. She's a naturopathic physician. I don't even know what that is. She's an herbalist. She's an international lecturer. She's an author. And she's a teacher of Maya medicine. Having lived and studied with traditional Mayan healers in Belize for nearly 25 years, Rosita became quite familiar with this miraculous remedy for the womb. She says, vaginal steaming is as popular in Mayan culture as drinking peppermint tea in American culture. In Central America, the remedy is called a bajo, which I think is a Spanish word for a bath. And it's very common among women because it works. It is said to reduce discomfort, bloating, and exhaustion associated with menstruation and counteract heavy menstrual flow, treat uterine fibroids, ovarian cysts, treat yeast infections, and relieve the symptoms of menopause. They say that Mayan women steep a cup of steaming herbs in a basin of hot water and find a quiet place to relax, squatting over the steam for 20 to 40 minutes. Okay. Well, this is quickly followed. This generated controversy because soon thereafter, an article was published by Ashley Orman in, I think it's Women's Daily. Three reasons you definitely shouldn't get your vagina steamed. Recently, Gwyneth Paltrow recommended another to-do for your hoo-ha maintenance checklist, the V-steam. All right. According to Mary Jane Minkin, M.D., clinical professor of OBGYN at Yale School of Medicine, quote, it's complete bull. Minkin says that the alleged benefits of getting your vagina steamed are totally bogus and that undergoing a treatment like this could even harm your lady parts. And here's why. Number one, it might burn you. According to Minkin, my first concern is that someone would burn themselves because steam is hot. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go. That would be a catastrophic situation. Number two, it can disrupt your vaginal flora. You know, just like the gastrointestinal tract, there's vaginal flora, there's normal flora, and heating and, you know, various types of herbal, some of these herbal constituents of the steam bath have antimicrobial effects. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe not so good. It's normal to have bacteria down there. It's natural. And you absolutely don't have to steam clean your nether parts, right? You can mess up your beneficial bacteria. And finally, number three, according to Dr. Minkin, there are no hormones produced by the uterus or vagina. The hormone factor is in the ovaries. There's no reason why steam would actually get up there to affect the hormones produced there. And it's hard to say if the steam even makes it that far. So there you have it. This is a controversy that's bound to heat up about vaginal steaming. And you want to try it, you know, just head out to Santa Monica. Probably coming to a health spa near you. The latest health fad for ladies. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take more of your phone calls in just a moment on Intelligent Medicine.
Taking an omega-3 has become part of my daily routine, but I did have some concerns about the environment and, quite frankly, the occasional fishy burp back. So I looked around and discovered a new eco-friendly and vegetarian alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. While it's no secret growing older can be a challenge, my doctor stresses the importance of omega-3s in helping to achieve and maintain a healthy lifestyle throughout all the stages of my life. I discovered that many health experts encourage supplementation with omega-3s to help support cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. Chia Omega is a high-quality, all-natural, plant-based line of supplements made from chia seed oil. Chia seeds are the richest and most sustainable natural sources of ALA omega-3 on the planet, containing even more than fish or flax. Having choices concerning my health and making a conscientious change benefiting the environment feels empowering. That's why I switched to Chia Omega. You can get essential formulas Chia Omega at Vitamin Shoppe and other fine health food stores everywhere.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. Let's take a call from La Crosse, Wisconsin. How you doing? You must be freezing there. What's the temperature there?
Well, it actually, it's not so bad today. It warmed up today. It was worse yesterday.
What did it warm up to, about 10?
It's about 19.
Oh, nice. Nice and balmy. Oh, thank goodness.
Great. Not so bad.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's all relative. It's like after you know, 15 below, like 19 feels like, you know, it's like a spring thaw.
It certainly does.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for taking my call, and I love your show, and I listen to you as often as I can.
Thank you.
I have a question. My son recently sprained his ankle pretty badly, and he's a high school senior.
Yeah.
And he's a basketball player. And, you know, the typical six-week thing, ice and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if there's any type of supplement that promotes healing or lack of inflammation or swelling or topical. I'm familiar with arnica oil, icing, leverage, and all that. But is there any miracle thing that you know of?
Because you know, I got to tell you, I've been there, done that. And, you know, as being somewhat athletic myself, I mean, I'm not playing a lot of basketball, but I'm working out. And, you know, you get older, you're also more injury prone. The thing that I rely on when I have a sprain or a strain is Wobenzyme. Wobenzyme is a proteolytic enzyme. It's used a lot in Europe for sports injury and trauma. And it is taken internally. You take three or four, these little small tablets, and the trick is to take them away from food, at least half an hour before a meal or an hour and a half after a meal, which sometimes is hard. If you're eating all day, and it's hard to find an interval where you haven't eaten. But you try to squeeze four doses of that in between meals. Maybe take it right on awakening, right before bed, and then squeeze in a couple more doses during the day. And then maybe take an additional curcumin or two with each dose. It's hard to overdose on curcumin. It's pretty mild on the stomach. And curcumin is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. And, you know, I got to say, I've been overdoing it lately. And I did a kettlebell workout, kind of a CrossFit workout on Monday. And I knew that I'd strained a muscle in my back. And then using the Wobens, you know, I thought this would be about something that sidelined me for 2-3 weeks. And remarkably, just a few days with that regimen, it's really made a difference. So the product is Wobenzyme. There are other knockoffs of Wobenzyme in the United States, possibly equivalent, but that's the traditional product that's used in Europe, and it's imported here. Wobenzyme, Wobenzym. And curcumin, the product that I use, is Mareva curcumin. It's a more bioavailable form of curcumin. You can find those at drhoffman.com on the website. That could help, and I hope he feels. I hope he feels better. You know, it's maybe you could also try Toprosin. Toprosin is a topical application that some people find helpful for injuries. Toprisin. But I like the idea of using arnica, topical arnica, oral arnica works best right after an injury. But those are some of the things that you may want to use. And I hope he feels better. But you know, he's a young kid, and you got to have him go through the right rehab. That's one of the things he has to learn in sports is that, you know, just like the professional athletes, they got to, you know, they need to wait it out until they're ready to get back on the field. Otherwise, this could become a real debilitating, career-hampering injury. So I hope you pass that advice along to him. Be patient. I know it's hard to be patient when you're 17 years old. 888-302-3684. All right, here's a little postscript to the story that we shared with you last week about resveratrol. The resveratrol product that I use is Longevinex. And I take one twice daily. And it turns out that's the exact amount that was found to be helpful in humans in relationship to memory and the hippocampus, the function of the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain responsible for recall. First, there was animal research. Okay, animal research is one thing. Does it translate to humans? Then there was finally a human study. 100 milligrams of transveratrol twice daily preserved memory. Here's one that shows that resveratrol decreases brain microhemorrhages. Why is that important? Well, as people age, they develop something that is referred to in medicine as état lacunaire. With apologies to the French, it's a French word, which means lacunar state, which means they're tiny little Swiss cheese holes in your brain due to mini strokes, not big strokes, but mini strokes, the tiny little events that occur day in, day out over time, and that may cause your brain to shrink and function less well. Microbrain hemorrhages that aren't even visible sometimes on MRI affect 36% of older individuals, and they may be responsible for disturbances in gait, which are very common as you age, you know, unsteady gait. And so they did a study among aged lab animals, and what they found was that the resveratrol improved their blood pressure and reduced their rate of microhemorrhages, and that's pretty cool. And what that translated to was that they actually walked better. Their gait improved with the resveratrol. So, you know, makes it, just, I think, a very cogent case for taking resveratrol, not just to preserve memory. I mean, that's important, but also your ability to walk and get around and to prevent these Swiss cheese holes from permeating your brain. All right, this item comes to us from the Associated Press. If you're exercising more than two or three times a week, it may turn out that you're overdoing it. This according to a new study. The American Heart Association, they found that middle-aged women who work up a sweat two or three times per week are about 20% less likely to develop heart disease, strokes, or blood clots. But the catch was that in this study, that additional exercise didn't translate into additional protection. I got to say that I have a problem with the study because I think additional exercise has other benefits. I hope that the study doesn't dissuade people from exercising more, but at the very least, you'll get a lot of benefit from exercising two to three times per week. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stay with us. We got lots more coming up in hour two. Hope you're part of it. This is Intelligent Medicine.